Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? This is Anthony Brown, Anthony Brown and Group Therapy, and I'm so excited to debut for you my brand new single, Work, from the new project, Everyday Jesus. This song is so special to me because this song is all about love. It's all about, in fact, the greatest love of a Savior that would give His life for both of you and for me. I think in this world that we live in, we're reminded enough of what we'll never become, what we'll never do, and what we can't do. But I want you to know today that He thought you were worth saving. He thought you were worth dying for. He thought you were worth keeping. And because of all of that, not only am I worth it, but so are you. Check it out.
So you can. You thought I was just all right, shalom, shalom, everyone. How is everybody doing? This is Taina with another edition of the Yehuda Project on the first day of the week. I found that song the other day, and I thought that song, I'm feeling that song. That don't need to be a church song. That's supposed to be for us. How does the word go? It says, you thought I was worth saving, so you came into my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. Oh, that song is just beautiful. I love that. I'm not gonna steal that one right there. I'm sorry. How's everybody doing today? I hope you can hear me. If you can, somebody please push one. Let me know you can hear me. It's a beautiful song. I mean, that's a beautiful song. He said, you thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so that I could be whole, so I could be free. Oh, my goodness, it's beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. All right. I'm going to stop because I could just go on and on and on and on. Let me get everybody on. Shalom, Brother Adonia. How are you this wonderful first day of the week?
Shalom, shalom. And I have to admit, it is a beautiful song. And the guy who's singing it, the guy that's singing it,
yes,
lays it out. I'm talking about he lays it out.
Ooh, yeah, I've been fierce yesterday.
I appreciate good music. And that was good music. And I didn't hear all of the words, you know, mm-hmm. but. But I'm sure it was it hit home. You understand?
Oh my goodness, we're gonna have to feel that one. Yeah, we're gonna have to feel that one right there for real. I'm serious. Beautiful song.
Okay.
Yes, mm-hmm. Indeed. So, how was your day today? Tell me some good news. Any news? What's going on? News? Oh, what's going on?
My middle daughter, the one I told you that is the police chief. They sent me some groceries. You know how they got they sent you call them in your order, and Kroger and them, Publix and all of them, they bring it to your house.
They sure do. Ain't that a blessing?
Yeah.
All right.
It's amazing, though.
No,
see, they started that just before the coronavirus.
Right? So it is. So it is.
So sure, something is fishy going on here, man. They knew what this was gonna happen.
Yeah, seem like it, don't they? Seem like it.
Ooh, yeah, a lot of things happening there around this school. Coronavirus. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's all right, Eric Code 405, your mic is open, Shalom Stone. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Well, I'm hanging in there. No complaints. No complaints.
Yeah. I want to let you know I love that song as well. Me and my grandbaby, always praise and worship on that song.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh. I heard it the first time yesterday. And that's talking about Israel.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's what I heard today. I'm like, you late, girl. That thing is old. Because I usually don't listen to church music. You know, but I like that.
Yes, that's one of my favorites.
Well, that's just like the song that Stephanie Mills got out, you know, years ago, man, about home. Can't be nothing but about Israel. They can't,
you know.
Yeah, they could say it was about that movie, but it sure sounds like home to me.
Yeah, hallelujah. Let me get area code 720. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, is that Kalante?
No, that is Anthony. His name
Anthony
is
Brown.
Anthony, hold on. Anthony Brown, and the name of the song is called Worth, W-O-R-T-H. And you can pull it up on YouTube because I was on YouTube, and that's how I heard it. Because it's really 10 minutes long. I just cut it off because I wanted to get to the show, but it's a tearjerker right there, boo. I'm telling you.
That is beautiful. Mm-hmm. It is beautiful.
Yes.
I heard someone mention on a YouTube sermon that I was listening to yesterday, and he was talking about us being the children of Israel, that we are living, we're living in the prophecy of the Most High, so we don't have anything to fear. We are a living prophecy.
Okay.
And
oh,
that really blessed me.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And, you know, it's difficult because, you know, because we're sitting here, and it appears to some that we have no protection because they don't understand how the kingdom operates. People get fearful. You know, it's a very trying time, and our normals will change, but the Most High will never change. And he said he was going to protect Israel, and we have to believe that with everything we have.
That is correct. And
yes,
that's where I'm at. I'm
believing
Almighty with all my heart and all my soul and every fiber of my being. You understand?
Oh, no,
I believe that he's going to do exactly what he said, and he don't change.
And it's looking
right.
Like it. I mean, I've never seen, I mean, it's been all over YouTube all day today. They're talking about the economy. They're talking about the situation that we're in here in America. They're talking about America's not ready for what's going on. They don't have enough testing. They don't have enough test kits. And they were doing some sort of drive-up testing like they did in Korea and the different places. And I think it was in Texas or somewhere, and the cars was just wrapped around where people are just in line waiting for them to stick that Q-tip up their nose. And I'm like, Lord, how much? You know, it's just, he said, we're just not ready for it. We're not ready for this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The whole
and you
lifestyle
can see now how
world.
Martial law is going to take place. Because in order to get a hold of this, people are going to have to stay in the house. And people don't want to stay in the house.
That is correct.
They said in Italy that there are dead bodies in the houses because the people that are trying to deal with the sick people don't have time to stop to gather the bodies. And the funeral home doesn't want to go in the house because they're afraid to catch it.
You can't blame them for that.
No. No.
This place is going down, son. It ain't going to stick around too much longer. You know, the economy is gone. I'm talking about there ain't no bouncing back from this.
All I saw today was negative, 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 negative. All the way down in red, it was negative. Everything was negative.
I understand.
Lord. Hold on, air code 928, your mic is over, you're on the air.
I just want to say that he's really showing them who's in charge and that he rules in the kingdom of man. They're not in charge.
Mm-hmm.
The script, he wrote the script, and like you said, they're not ready for this, and they thought they were in control, and now since they lost control, you see everybody panic. Panicking.
Yeah,
like you never see them panic, but he's showing his hand.
He is. Yes, he is, sis. It's amazing, you know, and it happened so fast, you know, and you just look like.
Yes, it did. It knocked him straight off his feet.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Now, Europe is the epicenter of the virus because they can't get control over it. And they said they don't know how many people is infected in the United States because they don't have any way to test to find out.
And one more thing. These people who are dying are still infected. So I would not touch these people if I were you, anybody who's listening. You do not want to touch these people. These people are still infected. So for them to even try to get somebody to clean that up, these people who are clean, stay clean.
Yeah. That's what
don't
they
touch
said.
The dead.
They get nobody to go get the dead bodies out the house. Nobody wants to go touch them.
Oh.
It's incredible. And guess what? A month ago, we weren't even talking about this a month ago. I mean, Brother Yerushalayim brought it up in passing, and we just said, yeah. But now it's been taken over.
That is
wasn't it like a little over a month or two ago where they were talking about the New York thing and the Jewish community and all of that?
Yeah.
And now look at how drastically it's changed.
Yeah, Most High just took the attention off of us and put it on this. And he has everybody's attention. He do. It's like he said, attention, please. Like, this is what we're doing now. So let's switch over here. And everybody is just in a state of shock.
Yeah.
For real. Unbelievable.
And you know,
why you guys keep talking about it? Because it's prophecy being fulfilled.
That is correct. Absolutely.
You know how you get chicken pox, and then they say that you can get, scabies? Once these people are infected and they're supposed to be cured, do we even know if they can have an outbreak again?
No.
I agree. I would like to know that.
We don't know.
Nope.
So
they have no data to say.
They should be scared.
No, there's no precedence for it. And what you're referring to is shingles. After you've had chickenpox, you can still get shingles.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, right. And there's not a precedence out there. So I don't know that they even know that there's a cure.
Hold on. Area code 919, your mic is open. You're on the air.
I just wanted to add as well that with the person who said that this is totally new, that, you know, they have been pandemics from influenza virus, but there has never been a pandemic from coronavirus. It's always been regional. So this is a new strain, and we've never seen a coronavirus go global like this. So it is completely a new ball game, a game changer for us. So we really don't know a lot about what's going to happen with it.
Wow.
And the labs are beginning to increase their test kits. They are beginning to, it's probably not completely national yet, but we are beginning to get, you know, kits. But that has been a delay in just being able to get a test for it.
Well, what I heard this morning was that Korea or one of those countries opted to send us their test, and the United States rejected it because we wanted to create our own test. And then when they gave the test, it wasn't accurate enough. So I guess they have gone back to the drawing board to try to create and pump out more tests that are accurate.
Yeah, I know a billionaire from China did offer to donate test kits as well as masks. But I do know that two corporations now, one by the federal government, has been contracted, and LabCorp independently are producing, and they think they'll be up to over 10,000. It's a day or a week. So, yeah, I don't know about the other, what you said, but it is delayed, but it's starting.
Praise
but
God.
The issue I was bringing up is that this is a new, we have never seen a pandemic from this virus, usually coronavirus, every year, kind of, you know, with cold. It is now gotten itself to the point where it creates a global pandemic. Only influenza has done that before now.
Unbelievable. Area code 540, your mic is open, you're on the air.
Yes, I've been listening closely to what's going on due to I myself have to be cautious as far as health. And what I've learned recently is that the people that had it and they say you're cured, what happens over a few weeks after that, it compromises your lungs. So they end up having some kind of a breathing problem, and they don't know how to solve that. So you still end up with a problem once you've had it. So that's scary.
Wow. That is really something.
Let me ask a question. My question is that once you do they have a cure, or you on your own if you get the virus, you're on your own and you cure yourself. Well, you get it.
There's no cure. Your immune system has to take care of it yourself and always support you while that's happening. But for some people, if they're immune compromised or if they have other health conditions, their immune system is not strong anyway. So it's up. Yeah, there's no. We have very few antiviral treatments. Very few medications that actually treat a virus. Even the common cold, we don't have a treatment. There's no cure for that. So very few medications that we have that can treat a virus.
Well, there's very few, if any, for any kind of illnesses. Because ever since polio, what are they really curing? You know, they said too many businesses went out, people weren't making money, and so they really don't care to cure anything, just treat the symptoms. That's where the money is.
Yeah, that's true.
Treat, not cured. So the patient suffers while the system gets rich.
Yeah.
And it depends on your health issues. Like she said, if you're young, they said babies are not affected as much as older people are, or people who have respiratory illnesses or different things like that. But the thing that I heard was that they don't have enough ventilators because it's the ones, the people that are critical have to go on ventilators for the ventilators to breathe for them until the virus takes its course or whatever it is, and they don't have enough. So they're at the point now where they're making a decision to say, if you're 50 years old, we will put you on a ventilator, but if you're 77 years old, we're not going to.
Wow.
And I know they do that because they did that with my aunt when she was sick and in intensive care. The doctor told me to my face, he said, you are 40 years old. He said, she is 79, 80 years old. We're not going to waste the medicine on her. She has lived her life. And her quality of life is as much as it's going to be, and we're not going to be able to do that. He told me that to my face.
That's a terrible thing to tell somebody, boy. I'm telling you, boy. Ooh, how could they say that to you, to your face? We're not going to do nothing for her.
He said we're not going to waste the medicine on her. He told me that. He said, now, if it was you, because of your age, you still have some life left. But she's already lived her life, and we're just not going to do it. And I felt like, you know, that's not. And I called an attorney and everything. You know what the attorney told me? He said, what can you do? They're the one in control of the medicine.
That is correct.
But if you guys remember when John McCain was running and he had Sarah Palin from Alaska was supposed to be his vice president, and they were talking about medical care, and she got a hold of the papers and read them and was upset because they claimed that if you reach 64, they really didn't want to, you know, save your life. And everybody was saying, no, don't listen to her, she's crazy, whatever. But you know what? It turned out that she is true. She spoke the truth.
They got some terrible bedside now. I'm telling you, boy, you understand? At least you could tell them something that makes it softer, you know, sound softer. You understand? They tell them, man, listen, we ain't going to do nothing for them.
That's why if you're elderly, it's best for you to stay in the house. Stay away from the public. Stay out of the public's way. Because if it gets to the point where they think it's going to get in America, that they're not going to be able to do it. They won't have the resources to do it.
They say Trump was tested. You understand? He say that he's all right. I don't believe nothing he said. Period.
They claim it's a shortage of drugs because just about all of our drugs are coming from China. And they've been compromised, but you know, it wasn't to the point where it'll hurt a whole lot of people at once, but now that China is saying that the U.S. did this to them, in the near future. Are they going to compromise all the drugs? I don't know.
Wow. I mean, really. It is really critical. It's something.
How can they say that it's not as potent as a regular flu virus, but yet this virus has taken down everything, as Sister Yaina, you were mentioning that your grandson said, How are they still saying that?
Okay, they're not. They're like the same, like
that.
The lady
yeah.
just said. The doctor just said it.
Yeah, they're not saying that.
Go ahead,
when they first started. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me? Oh, so I think the message was that you're more likely to get the flu because there's so many more people who get the flu. And say 75 million people in the U.S. get the flu, 75,000 deaths, that's like one per thousand. However, with this virus, we're looking at a 3.4 per 100 death rate. So if you get it, then there is a 10 to 30 times more likely to die from it. So it is more. There is a higher mortality rate, but there are fewer people getting it compared to the flu.
Well, I got an answer. They can say anything. They just can't back it up. They'll tell you anything. These people will tell you anything, but they just can't produce the facts because they be lying, straight up lying to your face.
Try to build your immune system as much as you can. God is the one that's going to be sheltering us anyway.
That is correct.
And he's been doing it because the foods we eat, forget it, they're not good. But, you know, he said that there might come a time that you might eat poison, but it will not harm you. And only Yah is the one to do it. No one else.
That's true. That is true. Yep, I think that is so true. That is wonderful. You know, we have an Elohim that loves us. And you know,
correct.
In times like these when you know how much he does. Hold on, area code 337, your mic is open, you're on the air.
Yeah, I got two things. So one of them is that it's a video out. You guys did a real good job on the breakdown of coronavirus. It's called Coronavirus. Is it real or fake, and why is it K. Reno. His name is K. Reno. Well, he's a rap out of Houston, but, you know, now he's turned in serious news. And the other thing I heard twice on the line while I was listening about Genesis, when the Most High divided the waters from the waters. The waters on the earth is sea water and all that, but the waters that's above is vapor, just like it's rivers on the water. Rivers on the earth, it's rivers in the air, but it's vapor. That's in the ionosphere.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's vapors or sheets of like floating ice?
Well, if you look at the purpose of the sun, when the water comes down, the book of Enoch tells you that it's something in the water. Everything on the earth is waiting on this water. It's something in the water when it falls down. Then it's distributed over the earth, and then the sun brings the water back up in vapor form. Those rivers of vapors in the sky, and then it replenishes whatever within it. It falls back again. It's over and over. It's a cycle over and over.
So that's where the fog come in from.
The fog is all different elements of water. The mist, the fog.
Yeah, that's true.
It's all just right. So, but anyways, that's what the Egyptians were talking about when they were talking about the Pharaoh was going to leave in this boat and he's going to float off into the sky because his river's up in the sky, but they're in vapor form, just like his river's below on the earth in water form. Okay, yeah. So I heard that two, three times. I heard that a couple of times, so I was just, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but that video, I think, is awesome. He broke it down. He tells us the origins of it, how they manufactured it, and the people that did it, and everything. It's like 20 minutes, I think.
Evidently, it's been got out of control, or it's being used to push us into the next level of where we need to be, because we got to go to the next phase of the way that the script is written. So it's definitely pushing us in a different direction. It definitely is. You know, because America, like the man said, America can't be a superpower, and we have a one-world government at the same time. You can't have them both. And this is taking this down. This is really, you know, this is the stock market and all of it. Oh, my goodness, it's just going down. It's going down. Hold on. I want you guys to hear something. Just a minute. Let me get it up. Because this is what I wanted you to hear yesterday. Hold on. Here we go. Listen.
These are coronavirus test kits being flown by chopper to the Grand Princess cruise ship after reports of a suspected outbreak of COVID-19.
I was worried mainly because my parents are elderly and my mom has asthma. So, yeah, I'm very worried if she would get ill, what might happen.
Debbie Loftus and her parents are among the 2,400 passengers circling more than 60 miles off San Francisco, not allowed to disembark. Just hours ago, Vice President Mike Pence gave the results.
21 individuals on the Grand Princess tested positive. Among those were 19 crew members and 2 passengers.
Right now, it's just numbing. It's trying to process this information and see what their life goes in the next couple of weeks.
Passengers now confined to their rooms.
All passengers and crew will be tested for the coronavirus. Those that need to be quarantined will be quarantined. Those that require additional medical attention will receive it.
Outside the San Francisco hospital, we're setting up tents to handle any overflow coronavirus patients as the virus wreaks havoc across the country. In the United States, there are hundreds of cases in at least 26 states with at least 17 deaths. Daily life has been disrupted. The wildly popular Austin Festival South by Southwest now canceled, along with dozens of other large gatherings. And now a wave of school closures.
Classes are canceled here. That means no classes, no practices, no after-school activities.
And many employees are being told to work from home, including everyone at Apple headquarters in Cupertino, California, and Microsoft. In Hollywood, the release of the new James Bond movie, No Time to Die, postponed for 8 months. President Trump visited the Centers for Disease Control and insisted the federal government has the coronavirus outbreak under control. The head of the CDC agreed. The hardest hit area is Washington State, where there have been more than 80 cases and at least 14 deaths. Seattle's iconic Pike Place Market, normally bustling with tourists and shoppers, virtually deserted yesterday. The epicenter is here, the Life Care Center in Kirkland, where at least 10 people have died. Families are outraged at the lack of response. Pat Herrick told us after she learned her mother died, she got a second painful phone call.
She said, I just want to check in with you and let you know that my mother's feeling fine, that she doesn't have a temperature. I said, that's my mom got a ticket this morning, and she was like, oh, my God, you know, that wasn't in the chart. They don't care. They don't care about the elderly.
Colleen Mallory's 89-year-old mother, Peggy, who suffers from dementia, shared a room with one of the patients who died from the virus but hasn't been tested for the virus since life birth, so she doesn't have symptoms.
We're here at the center, and I feel like everyone is in the panic mode. I think we've tried to find a black hole here.
Tonight, for the first time, we're hearing from a resident inside. Susan Haley has a cough and is waiting for test results.
Do I want to leave? Yes. Absolutely, yes. It's not that the people are nice. It's that I felt like being trapped.
Help for the bereavement facility is now on the way. Officials are announcing that a team of 30 federal health professionals are being sent.
This is like a flu on steroids.
On the other side of the country, the virus is quickly spreading in the New York City area.
Not going to me. I'm urging reality. I'm urging a factual response as opposed to an emotional response.
There are at least 44 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in New York State, with most of them linked to a Westchester County lawyer who's still hospitalized in the ICU. About 4,000 people now under quarantine in New York State. The epidemic started in China, in Wuhan. That city has now been on lockdown for 2 months. It's 11 million inhabitants, mostly out of sight. Streets deserted, public transportation almost non-existent. But there is encouraging news. New infections in China seem to be slowing down. Health officials credit China's strict quarantine. But around the world, the virus is spreading rapidly.
We are on the verge of reaching 100,000 confirmed cases.
The visual impact is dramatic. Iconic sites around the globe now empty. This is Mecca in Saudi Arabia before and now. To the Spanish Steps in Rome, normally crowded with tourists, now empty. Beijing's Forbidden City, once packed, now seemingly desolate. The rapid spread of the virus also impacting the global economy. From toys to clothing to gardening supplies, companies across the country rely on Chinese factories now shut down by the outbreak.
85% of our products have something in them from China. The majority of goods in China are manufactured in China. It's taking longer than ever.
It is what I call an economic pandemic, and that is its global scope. And our efforts to contain the virus and stop the spread of it means shutting down factories, shutting down stores. The consequences have been devastating, especially for travel. Airlines are anticipating losses of more than $113 billion in sales as travel and hotel bookings plunge. Uncertain times are driving some to extreme measures. Austin-based Bureau of Safety says their military-grade gas masks and hazmat suits are in high demand.
The
reality, we don't need gas masks. We don't need hazmat suits. When you hear public health officials say everything's fine, don't panic, I think it runs the risk of being dismissive and actually causing people to panic. It's very important to say, we don't know.
We have this chronic high level of anxiety over, am I going to get infected with coronavirus? And you have people going out, trying to stockpile on masks, trying to stockpile on food for months, even get dry food, and that's a lot of frozen
food. In some parts of the country, only swines and empty shelves are in reality.
We're seeing price gouging, things like $100 for a bottle of Purell on Amazon.
Amazon now vowing to crack down on price gougers, blocking sellers' accounts.
This is hysteria. It's only going to make people panic more. Controlling the hysteria with sound communication, with facts, is going to be very important.
What we're seeing now is some things that are done out of fear that might be counterproductive. With the virus continuing to spread, experts say facts, not fear, is the best path forward.
We're all in this together.
These outbreaks kind of show us our common humanity, and we really do need to fight them as a species.
All right, there you have it. I mean, you know, the elderly people is please, you guys, stay in the house. I mean, you know, don't push the envelope. Just stay in the house if you can. Because it's just when it hits the nursing homes, it's going to go through the nursing homes like wildfire. I mean, it just is because they're already their immune system for weeks. And look at the economy. What's happening? Do you realize that they said that American Airlines has had to delay and cancel a lot of their trips going to the other countries? That means pilots are going to be laid off. Stewardesses are going to be laid off. The money that's going to be lost. Unreal. Hold on. Your mic is open. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, Sister Yaina.
Yes.
This was not in any of those scenarios that we ever came up with.
No.
This scenario is totally out of the norm. This virus take down everything and everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
It wasn't one of our scenarios. You understand? I never thought about a virus doing that. You know? You understand? But it was as I look at it right now, it's always a possibility that could be the thing. You understand? To take down this whole society. Yeah.
Brother Donia, it looks like it is. I mean, it looks like it is.
Yeah.
It does. You know?
Yeah.
It looks like it is. Air code 702, your mic is open, you're on the air. Air code 702. I guess if your phone is on mute, we can't hear you. Yeah. It's critical. It's really critical. I mean, it's some scary stuff. I mean, you know, to see that everything going like it is, and it's going to take out quite a few people. I mean, if it keeps going like it is and nobody's doing any testing, it is going to take out quite a few people.
Absolutely.
If you know, I'm serious.
And every commercial is showing travel, restaurants, you know, the expensive things that Americans and other nations are used to doing. It's like now everything is just closed down.
No, I know that's
right. It has stopped. The economy has come to a complete halt.
Yeah.
It's a
baseball game, basketball game, hockey, anything where people have to congregate. Soccer, they have canceled it all.
Right. Disney, the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So how can an economy recover from that? Because it's tanking. I mean, it's going to the bottom. Hold on, let me listen here to this little piece here real quick. Here we go.
Leading to the suspension of the Premier League until April, and the cancellation of Six Nations rugby matches this weekend. Next month, London Marathon is also being postponed. Whether it's football, rugby, golf, or Formula One, world sport has come to a standstill. This morning, after an emergency meeting, the Premier League finally confirmed an unprecedented shutdown until at least early April. The decision followed the news that Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta had tested positive for coronavirus. Callum Hudson-Odoi then becoming the first player to confirm he had the disease.
Hi guys, as you may be aware, I had the virus for the last few days, which I've recovered from. I'm following the health guidelines and self-isolating myself from everybody for a week.
Liverpool have enjoyed a bristling season, but with the club on the brink of a cherished title, the fans have been left in limbo.
It's disappointing, but yeah, 30 years, we waited 30 years for the title. We can wait another 3 or 4 months. But typical Liverpool, we can only do it the hard way. So hopefully we'll do it in the next few months.
But it's only suspended, it's not cancelled, so...
With a host of clubs, with players now in isolation, the whole of the English professional game has been suspended. Those in the cash-strapped Football League facing an uncertain financial future. We've got 6 home games left, and if we don't play them, we'll be looking at £250,000 hole in our finances at least. It's very worrying for any industry, which football is, that relies on people paying to come and watch it for the majority of its income. And all the associated things, it's extremely worrying. With British football entirely derailed, matches in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland were also suspended.
Here at Anfield, they'll be desperate for the campaign to resume, but senior figures within the sport fear that may prove impossible and the season is abandoned. That would be cruel on clubs like this and hugely damaging to the game as a whole. But it's not just football, the pandemic sending world sport into meltdown.
This afternoon, next month's London Marathon was postponed until October. The start of the Formula One season won't start until May, with 4 races now cancelled. In golf, the prestigious Masters tournament was postponed. And on a chaotic day, tomorrow's Six Nations rugby between Wales and Scotland was first declared on and then off.
It's supposed to be the only sporting event going on when other people were more mindful of the seriousness of the situation. And I think we just took into account supporters, players, our staff. It wasn't really essential to maybe subject them to that risk.
And what of the biggest show of all? Today, the symbolic Greek leg of the Olympic torch relay cancelled amid mounting concern over Tokyo 2020. Despite controversy over the government's support of such events, the Cheltenham Festival did conclude today. 69,000 fans present as Album Photo retained the Gold Cup. This is the last action major sport could see for quite some time. Dan Lowen, BBC News.
The government has announced that local and mayoral elections in England, due to be held in May, will be postponed for a year due to the outbreak. Our chief political correspondent, Vicky Young, said that Westminster Forest so recently outbreak.
Well, they postponed an election. They postponed an election, and all of it. This is worldwide. I've never seen anything like this.
sick. How did you come back from something like this?
Well, you know, on the TV, they were saying that 60% population is saying that this is the worst is yet to come.
Man, oh man. Well, we never anticipated this happening. We just didn't anticipate this happening.
They're calling for the Army Corps of Engineers to try to extend some of these hospitals. They need everything,
man. Hospital president, almost a warlike stance to handle. That's the one right there that said, that's what it's called. That's the YouTube clip that said, hospital president, almost a warlike stance to handle the virus. That's the one that they said, we won't be able to give it to the elderly. That's the YouTube clip right there that said that. That's what he said. We just won't be able to give it to them because we can't. Let me see if I can pull it up. It's only 3 minutes. Let me see if I can get this up here so we can see what it said. But it did. It said we won't be able to give it to the elderly. And I'm like, geez. You know, it's just not. It's not good. Okay, here we go.
Confirmed cases of COVID-19 turn into millions. How will our healthcare system manage? The steps we're taking, like social distancing, are all an effort to flatten the pandemic's curve so that hospitals aren't overwhelmed. That is why this flattening of the curve is such a priority. Joining me now are Johnny Spiezo, the president of UCLA Health, and Dr. Peter Slavin, the president of Massachusetts General Hospital. Welcome to you both. Let me start with you, Dr. Slavin, about the things that Mass General is doing. When are you preparing for what is going to be the peak of this curve, whether it's a mound or a spike? Is this coming in days, weeks? When do you expect it?
Good morning, Chuck. This is something that places like Mass General and hospitals around the country do on a daily basis on a small scale. We've been preparing for disasters for over 100 years, and for this particular one, over the last two months. We're taking a variety of steps to get ready. We, like other parts of the society, are promoting social distancing, asking our staff who can stay at home to stay at home, canceling elective surgery, and trying to do as much outpatient care through telemedicine, particularly for vulnerable populations. And we're training our staff and getting ready to engage in this difficult challenge that lies ahead.
Do you have a time frame at all that your experts are telling you based on what they think is happening in New England?
We think that the next week or two are going to be critical. We've begun to see cases in this area, but we expect them to rise dramatically in the coming weeks.
Johnny Spiro, you've had the West Coast has been dealing with this a little bit longer than the East Coast. What have you learned over the last 6 weeks that tells you what we should be expecting over the next 6 weeks?
Well, thank you for having me. I want to first start by saying this is definitely an unprecedented time for healthcare systems in our country. But Chuck, I want your viewers to also know the remarkable effort that our staff are making around the clock to really prepare and implement our emergency preparedness plan for the COVID-19 outbreak. And all of this is really consistent with our mission of an academic health system to really treat the most complex injury and illness that we see with our team of experts to really train that next generation of healthcare professionals on how to face these outbreaks and to conduct that leading-edge research and discovery that hopefully will lead to more cures. So we focused on, in addition to all the things that Peter mentioned, our big focus has been how do we establish surge capacity, recognizing that most of our hospitals are full. So our efforts have looked at really how we can create additional places to care for patients. If you go past our emergency department now, you'll see tents erected in the parking lot that allow us to increase emergency department capacity.
Okay, someone has going on in the background. I don't know who that is. I'm going to have to mute your phone.
because it's a lot of noise. It sounds like pots and pans clinging or something. You guys hear that?
Oh, it stopped.
Yeah, I hear it, and I couldn't understand a word nobody was saying because it sounded like they was outside somewhere, you know, and a lot of traffic.
Or driving or something.
Yeah. Yeah, so I didn't hear all of what was said, but
well,
they don't have no clue.
They have no clue.
They're going to ramp up testing. We've started.
Yeah, they don't.
Them to increase to do our testing as of yesterday.
They really don't.
So we also
why was it yesterday?
It's really sad.
Can you help explain to viewers why your lab?
But it sounds like the noise has stopped. Sounds like somebody was in their car and they was driving and the windows or something was down. I don't know what it was, but yeah. They really don't have a clue.
Man, they don't
have
any. I mean, it surprises me, man, because that wasn't one of my scenarios in bringing down this whole thing.
So you wasn't expecting.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect you this. You understand? You know, even when we talked about, you know, all the plagues and stuff that happened in Egypt, you understand? You know, it was plague after plague after plague, you understand? And that's what happened. But this right here is a steady, they're talking about, do they have any plans for 6 weeks? You know, what's going to happen in 6 weeks? Man. It looked like the same thing will happen because they ain't got no cure, you understand? And they don't have no they're testing and they don't have nothing to test with. Oh Lord, it's a big problem here, sister. Ooh wee. I was saying,
but
I said, man,
you weren't prepared. Like you weren't prepared. We're not. They said they're not prepared either. So hopefully, we don't have to catch it. It's not nothing that says we have to catch it. So, you know, we just pray and ask y'all to cover and protect us and pray for everybody else that do catch it.
That is our protection. That's the only thing that we got. We ain't got nothing else, period. We don't run no clinic to get no serum to counteract this here. We don't have nothing going for us, man, but the Almighty Yah. And that's all we can do, you understand? And like I said, man, you know, this is something that was unexpected. I mean, who would have thought that this would? And I mean, the whole system is gone.
Yeah.
What about these? What about these super weapons that they got? They can't shoot it.
No, brother, Tony, they can't. Everybody is just. I don't know. It says that. I don't know. Whoa, I just don't know. I hear check this out. Listen,
this is the West Block, politics, perspectives, and players.
Canada has advised Canadians to curtail non-essential international travel. These are significant steps, and we will do more.
The Prime Minister in self-isolation.
I will remain in self-isolation for 14 days. Our government will be creating a $1 billion COVID-19 response fund.
A lot of things that we're working on with the financial markets, it's going to work out fine.
It won't be easy. And that is especially true in Alberta, where we have been hit by a triple whammy.
Stay home and keep your distance. Governments are telling their citizens to take precautions to try and get the global pandemic of COVID-19 under control. But that's leading to panic and fear on the stock market as this new virus continues to spread. Here in Canada, the government announced a significant fiscal stimulus to help combat the impact of the new coronavirus. Is this enough to help businesses and workers, and how is this affecting the Canadian economy? And joining me now is Goldie Heyer, the president.
Now, this is what they're saying. They're going to be giving money to the businesses to try to keep the businesses going. They're going to try to create a stimulus package to say that if you can't go to work and you're not getting paid, the banks can't foreclose on your home, the landlord can't put you out of your house, and the utilities companies cannot shut your utilities off. Now, how is that going to work?
But that's good that they're doing that if they're going to do it, if it can work. That's a good thing. You understand? I don't know how it's going to work, you know, and how they're going to implement it or anything, but it's a good concept. You understand? Because if a person's not working, you understand, they ain't got no way of paying no rent. They ain't got no way of paying no bills, period. You understand? You know, so I think that's a good thing. They can't, you know, that he put that in place. Now, that's the first good thing that I heard from President Trump, except for the fact that he called for a National Prayer Day. That's the first time I ever hear him talk about prayer.
I bet.
Sister Yaina, do we know that they have implemented that yet, or is that just one of their proposals?
That's one of their proposals.
Right.
Because they're trying to keep, I don't know how they're going to keep the economy stimulated. I just don't know, because, I mean, like I said, when you look at the numbers, everything is in the negative. Everything is in the negative.
Yeah, I understand.
See, and I think the Fed can only keep stimulating that stock market for a while, and I think that's what they've been doing. But how long can they continue that?
And it's so they done took it down to 0%.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think they could go under 0%, but they're going under 0%. It's like
that's
trying to go under 0%.
Unheard of. Unheard of.
0%. I was like, how do you go under 0%? But they are.
let me ask you a question. President can't get out of office when he got a crisis like this, can he?
I don't know. Probably not. I don't know. I really have no idea. I don't know. Oh, my goodness.
I know that they had some places have martial law, and under martial law, he's got to stay in power. So I would think that they cannot get rid of him under like, say, for instance, 5 states are under martial law. They still can't get rid of them because it's still martial law.
Okay.
Well, this was just a day ago on the market. Listen to what they're saying about the market. This was just a day ago.
On Wall Street during the president's declaration of a national emergency, stocks finished up almost 2,000 points, the biggest one-day percentage gain since the 2008 financial crisis. And it came just a day after the biggest one-day loss since the 1987 Black Monday crash. Joining us to discuss the extreme volatility and what may lie ahead is Andy Serwer, editor-in-chief of Yahoo Finance. Andy, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I mentioned stocks finish up, but there's so much volatility. It seemed to be just what the stock market needed was that speech by the president, but we're not out of the woods, are we?
No way. I mean, and listen, I'm trying to get a little relief here on Saturday because that was a crazy week for people who follow the markets. What a roller coaster. And I think that we have to expect more volatility in the days and weeks to come because of all this uncertainty. It's such an old saw, but it's true. Wall Street hates uncertainty, and this is uncertainty writ large.
Andy, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin said we're in the second inning right now of stimulus efforts. Talk about what effect you think those stimulus efforts can have and how long it takes.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of options that the government has right now, and I think they're going through them, and they're trying to see how effective some of the things that they've already done are, which are, say, interest rate cuts, and then also the measures that the president announced yesterday afternoon. But going forward, they can do things like cut payroll taxes, send checks directly to families, increase government spending, and backstop the private sector, and especially workers who get laid off. That's a real concern for us and for the economy because especially now that we have so many people working in the gig economy, they're not protected at all. We really need to look at that very closely.
Yeah, and to that point, as people are in crisis mode, they're wondering, what do we do? Do we look to our 401k, take out loans? I mean, what should folks be doing if these businesses are shuttering or shutting down operations? I mean, what should folks do?
Yeah, well, the thing about the 401k, of course, is so scary, and, you know, it's probably a good idea not to do too much at all as far as that is concerned, because you're going to be selling when the market's going down, which is just the wrong time. You really need to understand also what your options are and how protected you are in terms of a layoff or in terms of sick leave or medical leave. You need to really go through that with your HR department. If you're lucky enough to work at a big company, at a smaller company, talk to your boss, talk to your coworkers, try to understand how exposed you are, and then follow what's going on in terms of government action, because you may actually need relief from the government, be it the federal or the state or the local level.
And we're keeping it all in perspective, too, Andy. I mean, so with the last 11 years, right, the market was at just over 6,000, the Dow, in 2009, went to almost 30,000 just a few weeks ago. Now it's back down to 23. Do you tell people, look at your 401k accounts right now?
Yeah, you just can't look at them. I mean, we always say just don't look. And at some point, you know, things will bounce back. I don't know if it's this year, next year, 3 years, 5 years, but, you know, it's the American economy, which is a pretty good bet over the long haul.
Andy, sir, well, thank you for the insight.
Did you hear what he said? He said, don't look. He said, don't even look at your 401k. Don't look at it. That's crucial. And you know what? We have put so much stock in this society and so much money in this society. And then the 401k plans and the IRAs and the Roth accounts and all the stuff that they promised us that you will be living comfortable in your older age. And all it takes is something like this.
Absolutely.
And it's gone.
They still owe me $800. You understand, from that last crisis that they had.
They do. I understand.
They owe me $800. I'm going to do that any day now.
We want to get ready for the latest developments. Okay, one more and then we finish. Here we go. This is for the day, and then we're going to call it a day. Here we go.
On the coronavirus pandemic, there are now over 156,000 cases confirmed across the globe and more than 5,800 deaths. Spain is now in lockdown. France and Israel are closing restaurants and other non-essential businesses. And here at home, the numbers continue to climb. Take a look at this map from last week. And now there are more than 2,900 known cases in 49 states and Washington, D.C. That's every state except West Virginia. At least 59 deaths have been reported. Our fight against an invisible enemy has turned life in America upside down. Mass gatherings put on hold. Almost 26 million students are out of school. And more of us are working from home. As our nation faces this crisis, our goal each day is to provide you with reliable information, to separate rumor from fact, to understand the true scope of this pandemic and what we should do to protect ourselves, our families, our neighbors. But to be blunt, your ability to make informed decisions is impaired when we hear things like this.
We have contained this, I won't say airtight, but pretty close to airtight.
When you have 15 people, and the 15 within a couple of days is going to be down to close to zero, that's a pretty good job we've done. This is a flu. This is like a flu. Anybody that needs a test is a test. If an American's coming back or anybody's coming back, we're testing. We have a tremendous testing set up where people coming in have to be tested. Each of those statements were either highly misleading or flatly wrong. And further misinformation in a prime-time Oval Office address this week caused more confusion. This is a time we need to be able to trust the information coming from the federal government. And when any inaccurate information impairs our ability to understand what is happening and to do what is needed to halt the spread of this disease. This is not a matter of political spin. This is now a matter of life and death, health and sickness. This morning, we will try to get more clarity. Our first guest joins me now, Dr. Anthony Fauci. Dr. Fauci, thank you for being here.
Good to be with you.
Now, you have said that there are going to be more coronavirus cases, and you've talked about flattening the curve. We've all seen the graph.
Right.
I was still taking another look at the graph now, trying to slow the spread of the disease. But one thing that graph is missing is numbers.
Right.
And I know you don't have precise numbers, but can you try to help us understand
when will life get back to normal? When? How long does this last? You know, it's going to be a matter of, you know, 7 weeks to few months for sure. If you look at the dynamics of how outbreak curves go, you just need to take a look at China and take a look at South Korea right now. Mm-hmm. With China, they went to their peak and they are coming down right now. There were just a day or so ago 11 new cases in China, which is minuscule compared to where it was. Korea is starting to flatten and maybe come down a little. If you look at that bracket, all of that was a couple of months, a month and a half for China, and about the same. Although you can't predict accurately, the way you interfere with that and not only diminish the peak of the curve, but even perhaps the duration, depends on the effectiveness in which you do the kinds of controls that we've been talking about, the containment and the mitigation. So do we think that Korea, do we think China are through this largely? Is it largely over? Well, it's over for now and hopefully for good. But the one thing that we have to keep an eye on John, is that China really dramatically did what we call social distancing. They just shut down the country. As they start getting back to normal personal interaction, I hope we don't see the second blip, but it's possible. So we're looking, you know, favorably at the fact that China is coming down, but we also want to look carefully to see what happens when they resume normal life. And that's one of the things that we're interested in. Hopefully it'll stay down, but it possibly could come back up. That flattened curve suggests that by flattening the curve, by doing all the mitigation, it actually lasts longer.
Right.
And it looks like roughly, I mean, is it the same number of people ultimately get infected?
No, no, not at all, as a matter of fact.
I mean, the way the curve is shown on the graph you showed, it might look like the area under the curve is the same. That would be misleading, John. It really is. The peak is less, and the numbers total would be less.
So you are probably the most trusted person on this. Are you confident that the federal government is doing everything that needs to be done right now to contain this?
You know, right now, yes, absolutely. And the fact is, what I like to see is when people look at what we're doing and say you're overreacting. For me, the dynamics of the history of outbreaks is you're never where you think you are with the if you think you're in line with the outbreak, you're already 2 weeks behind. So you've got to be almost overreacting a bit to keep up with it.
The New York Times had a story this weekend about the worst-case scenarios and some projections that were, they said, presented at the CDC about a month ago. Let's take a look at these. 160 million to 214 million people infected in the United States. 2.4 million to 21 million people hospitalized. 200,000 deaths, perhaps as much as 1.7 million deaths. First of all, what do you make of those?
So whenever people model, when you make a model, which that's exactly what that is, a model is only as good as the assumptions you put into the model.
Right.
So when you do a model, you say, what happens if it's the lowest of tier and what happens is the highest? The worst-case scenario is either you do nothing or your mitigation and containments don't succeed.
Mm-hmm.
So although that's possible, it is unlikely if we do the kinds of things that we're essentially outlining right now.
So tell me, what is the range of possibility? How many people do you think, based on what we're doing, based on what you know, your expertise on this, what are we talking about?
I don't think it's going to be that worse because I think what we're doing is going to have an effect. And for example, the president's decision to essentially have a major blocking of travel from China, that already had an effect of not feeding the way in Europe. Italy didn't do that, I feel so bad because I have so many friends there.
Yeah.
We're getting hit hard. What we're doing now with the other travel restrictions, so we block infections from coming in, and then within is when we have containment and mitigation. And that's the reason why the kinds of things we're doing that may seem like an overreaction
would keep us away from that worst-case scenario. So are we prepared for whatever you think the worst-case scenario would be is our healthcare system? But when I saw Seema Verma this week say that there are about 13,000 respirators in stockpile, 13,000 when we're looking at
ventilators.
I'm sorry, ventilators.
Right, okay.
That doesn't sound like anyone yet enough. Are we prepared?
Yeah.
That may not be enough if we have a situation where we really have a lot of cases. But John, let's make sure people need to understand that things will get worse before they get better. What we're trying to do is to make sure they don't get to the worst case scenario. That's what we need to do. And look at the way life is starting to stop here. We see different localities doing different things. Some cities are banning gatherings over 250, some 500. What should be done? Should we be seeing restaurants shut down like we're seeing happening in Israel and Spain right now? Should we basically be in a shutdown mode? What we should be doing is absolutely making it much, much different, not business as usual. You got to just chill down. Some areas of the country, particularly areas where it's clear you're having a lot of community spread, maybe more business and shutting things down. Right now, people are taking things on their own. No matter how you say 50 people is the limit, and that people say, no, we don't want anybody. We're just going to shut down things.
And it doesn't matter. Like, I mean, it matters how densely it
is. Exactly. So what we really got to do is we got to, as much as possible, but we don't want to lose sight of the fact that we're doing that interpersonal interaction, that you're trying to calm down and whatever way you want to chill and slow down. We got to make sure that the vulnerable ones are the ones we protect. The vulnerable, the elderly, and those with underlying conditions. Those are the people that can say, should you kind of stay in your house, not go to a movie, not go to a restaurant? For the most part, really, most people shouldn't do that. But the ones who really shouldn't do that,
So what about travel restrictions? Are we going to see domestic travel restrictions? I mean, we have hotspots. We have Washington State. We have parts of California and New York.
Should we be traveling? We sit around with the task force. We talk about every possibility. Travel restrictions within the country have not been seriously discussed. I mean, they've been discussed, but not seriously discussed. I don't see that right now in the immediate future. But remember, we are very open-minded about whatever it takes to preserve the health of the American public.
Man, listen, that's martial law. Yeah, I'm telling you, they're not going to be able to get this under control because people are not playing. They're not listening. They're going to start. They're going to have to implement martial law if they don't stop. It's unfortunate, but, I mean, that's what it is. That's martial law all day long. Because they're not staying in their houses. Everybody, I ain't sitting in the house. I'm going out. I'm going to do what I normally do. That's how the countries were able to keep it under control because people weren't moving around unnecessarily. I'm telling you. And they've been training for this martial law stuff for a long time. A long time. Whether you're watching, Mom, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, you're right. Unfortunately, here in this country, you're not going to be able to keep these people in the house. They're just not going to be. They're not listening.
Not at all.
You know, I've been trying to talk to my people here and make sure everybody's straight, and people think I'm crazy.
Yeah. But you see how fast it spread? The attorney came back from Wuhan or wherever he was at. He came home to his family. He infected his wife and his two children. Now, let's just stop there. She went to work, and wherever she worked, she infected her coworkers. His children went to school, so whatever kids they came in contact with, those children were infected. They went home and infected their parents, and then they said that the neighbors, he infected one of the neighbors, and then the neighbor went in and infected his wife and his children, and then the other man took him to the hospital here, and he infected him, and then he went home and took it to his wife and family.
Wow.
They said immediately over 150 people had been infected by that one man. That one man.
But you know,
the people that was in the emergency room with him before he was actually seen by a doctor.
That's true. But you know what's really ironic about all of that? They were sitting there saying that it was the Hebrew Israelites. They were beating up these Jews, slapping these Jews and all this. Mm-hmm. And the first place that got hit in this country was a Jewish community.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there going, it's crazy that is happening like that. But, you know, y'all been saying it forever. Get some food and water stored up. And now that day came, because my son went out today and he was telling me, he texted me from Walmart saying, the shelves are getting mighty bare.
Yeah, they are. But think about America. America is not prepared for the shutdown because we don't know who's infected and who's not. You know, and we keep on going and we keep going to work around the same people. You know, we're still functioning. They closed down. The church services and stuff have been closed down. Those have been shut down. My daughter-in-law, Tavi, she just told me that her church service was closed down today. So some church services are closed down, but people still congregating unnecessarily. And if you don't need to go out, stay in, because this is how they were able to get it under control and at least identify those that are sick. But it's probably too late now. It's probably millions of people infected. Probably is. It's probably millions of people infected right now. You know?
Uh-huh.
So I really don't know. It's just unfortunate. It's just really sad. I don't know what to say. It's just a lot.
There is a question that I wanted to ask you. It has nothing to do with this, though, but there's a question that I wanted to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, The Passover is this Friday, right?
Oh, yeah, let me make that announcement. The Passover is this Friday at 8 o'clock p.m.
Well, this
is
the question
we come together and have. Yes, sir.
I had a question about that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, when you was doing a count before, you said it's on the 14th day of the new month, right?
Uh-huh.
The new month starts at the spring solstice, right?
Yes, but I'll have to go over that with you because I calculated it up to be, it started, when we did the count, it started in March the 6th. So the first month of spring started March the 6th.
Oh, okay. Now I'm cooking with
you. And then
you
count 14 days from there.
Okay. Got it.
Okay, so that was the beginning of the month of the spring. So that was March 6th, and then 14 days from March 6th is the 20. Actually, it starts at even. So it starts at Friday night at even. We meet at 8 o'clock. Everybody will have their meals and stuff, and we'll be announcing this all week. And we're going to be on the same conference call that we're always on, the 319-527-9197, the number that you were on Saturday. And then the access code is 256-039-POUND. That's what we'll be on Friday at 8 o'clock. We're going to do a holy convocation that night. We're going to eat our meal together. We're going to go through our little ceremony that we're going to do. And then we're going to hang up. And then that starts the Passover. Don't forget to put the blood over the doorpost. If you don't, get some red ribbon and put your red ribbon over the doorpost before the sun goes down. And then we're going to blow the shofar and all that. And then we're going to come back on Saturday night at 8 o'clock, and we're going to start the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we're going to talk about that, blow the shofar, and then that lasts for 7 days. So for 7 days, you can't have anything that has yeast in it. So please take the time this week and get rid of everything out of your house that has yeast in it. It can be bread. It can be crackers. Whatever you see that has yeast in it or some sort of rising stuff in it, get rid of it. Flour, self-rising flour, get it out. And so, and then for 7 days, you don't have any yeast in your house,
and then we're going to come back that following week on Saturday and end it. So you can eat for those 7 days. You can eat meals and all of that stuff, but you can't eat anything that has yeast in it.
All right, that answers my questions.
All right, area code 347, your mic is open, you're on the air.
Hi, I was just had a couple of thoughts, and I was thinking about what Brother Adonai was saying, that this plague has not been part of the scenario that he saw for our deliverance. But I was thinking that this might be the plague of the firstborn, not necessarily the firstborn of the family, but maybe like the firstborn of the generation, since it's hitting a lot of the elderly. And also, if it's not from Yah, it could possibly have been something that was man-made and possibly by the Russians, because I was looking at a website from Johns Hopkins University where they were tracking the coronavirus cases worldwide. And of the confirmed cases, that's another thing, they use all these words to, like, throw you off. If they have 162,000 confirmed cases and Russia only had 8 cases, and of those 8, they've recovered, and then you have Trump who got his test back and is negative. So there might be some collusion there, you know? And one more thought that I had was that in the 2008 market crisis, the last time that they had the market crash, they did, after this, they did bail-ins, not bail-outs. They bailed out the companies, but the people bailed in. They took the people's money. Like, in the company that I worked, they started giving our investments negative interest. So they were taking our money off of the account. So that's something we need to consider. Like, the other countries in, like, Europe, they were doing that. They were taking the people's money out of their accounts. Also, this thing is, like, out of control, totally out of control, because there's a lot of traveling still going on, and the TSA agents are testing positive. So this is just a mess.
I heard that. I sure did.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
One
thing that we got to understand, these guys is talking about one thing, but the Almighty is altogether different. You understand? They talking about this stuff might be able to bounce back and it's coming to an end and blah, blah, blah. But they didn't factor in the Creator. You understand? You know, at all. You understand? He don't have no say-so in the, they don't have no say-so in the matter, actually.
Yeah, I know. Like, in New York, they're talking about, oh, this might last until September. I'm like, you're not God. You don't know. You're not the Most High.
That is correct.
Well, I think that the reason why this is happening is because, like I said, people won't sit still, you know, and then people don't wash their hands, because viruses are viruses. We get them all the time, but people do not sit still and they won't wash their hands, and it's a perfect opportunity, if it was man-made, to bring in martial law, because in order to make it, too many people in America, for people to follow the rules and just sit still. So they're going to bring in martial law. They've been training on bringing in martial law for a very long time, and now they have the perfect scenario to do that, to bring it in and restrict travel movement. So it's going to work out, you know, because like I said, whatever happens, the agenda has to move forward. The story that the Most High wrote, from the beginning, he wrote the end from the beginning. It has to move forward. So in order to move it forward, these things have to take place. And it looks like that this is what's going to be used to move it forward. It's unfortunate. It really is. But, I mean, you know, what can you do when you tell people don't go out? If you don't have to go out, don't go out. Because you're getting out of the car, you're touching the door handles, you're touching the handles at the store, you're touching the cart, you're rolling the cart around, you're touching the keypad to put your debit card, all this stuff people touch. And nobody washes their hands afterwards. You know, and it's just no way not to do that. I mean, this is how we function every day. And it's just unfortunate. It is. It's just unfortunate. You know? I think Lavia sent me something about the winners or something. Let me just say this real quick. She said that San Jose's mayor announced plans to protect renters. And they're going to have housing temporary eviction moratorium tenants in Los Angeles and San Francisco. So they're doing things to keep people in their homes until they can get back working again. But what if there's no company to go back to? How do you salvage a country? I do not know. This is when we pray. We tell y'all thank you. We keep his law, statutes, and commandments. And we just keep it moving because there's not a whole lot we can do anyway because we're not in control of the story. The players have been chosen to be the ones that are leading these Gentile nations, have been in charge, and they're the ones making the decision. But believe you me, whatever decision they're making, it's going according to y'all's agenda. They're not doing nothing separate on their own, even though they may think they are. It's going to all work out in his favor anyway.
Absolutely.
You know, we just have to know that and be prepared.
That's exactly what I was trying to say, is that they talking out their mouth, you understand, but they ain't heard the last word from the Almighty, period.
No. So on that note, you know, I just want to tell everybody to be encouraged. Don't forget Friday night we're coming together. We will be announcing this all week. You know, and I know a lot of camps have decided to come together in buildings and stuff, and they really shouldn't do that. They really shouldn't because you don't know who's sick. I mean, don't put people in jeopardy if they don't have to. But on that note, if anybody has anything else to say, I mean, you know, this is the time I wanted you guys, you know, to just be encouraged, you know, be vigilant. Go get the things that you need for your homes and stuff. Make sure you have everything you need. You know, so if we have to go in, we have to go in. But I don't know how they're going to salvage this from here because everything is in a free fall.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know.
They don't have the equipment to do anything about it. They ain't got
no
cure. You understand? They ain't got no test strips. You understand? Or whatever they need to test this stuff, they don't have it. You understand? And the hospitals is full up. Come on.
Absolutely.
I'm not in the know. They don't have my number to call me and let me know what's going on. But as far as I see, what they saying, they ain't got nothing to fix nothing.
No, absolutely not. So I wanted to take the time, since I didn't get a chance to play my song all the way through to early on, I want to be able to play my song because I just heard this song not too long ago, and I think it's absolutely beautiful. For you all who want to hang up, you're more than welcome to hang up. For you all who want to hear the song, you're more than welcome to hear it, but I just wanted to share it with you. So if you just be patient, here we go. I'm going to try to get through this portion here. I know there's some talking in the beginning, so I'm going to try to get us.
What's up, everybody? This is Anthony Brown, Anthony Brown and Goose Gary. And I'm so excited to debut for you my brand new single, Work, from the new project, Everyday Jesus. This song is so special to me because this song is all about love. It's all about the greatest love of a Savior that would give his life for both of you and for me. I think in this world that we live in, we're reminded enough of what we'll never become, what we'll never do, and what we can't do. But I want you to know today that he thought you were worth saving. He thought you were worth dying for. He thought you were worth keeping. And because of all of that, not only am I worth it, but so are you. Check it out.
So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I
lifted me when nothing else could help.
It was yours.
Nothing else.
Enjoyed that song. If you want to know who that is, that's Anthony Brown. You can pull him up on YouTube. The name of the song is Worth, W-O-R-T-H. I hope you enjoyed it. Be encouraged. Encourage one another. And we'll see you on Tuesday night for the men's call and on for the women's call as well. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Have a wonderful rest of your week. See you soon. Shalom, shalom. Good night, everybody.